So for many years, there's been an Ethiopian community living quiet lives in the different parts of Eretz Yisrael, usually different like margins of society where they're not really noticed, they're kind of hidden, and then living very peaceful lives. And then without warning, all of a sudden, there was a lot of protesting. So, and this is in the last few months. So what ignited these protests that all of a sudden came into being? Like, it became very violent and people were very angry. So what ignited these protests? So what ignited these protests was a simple video that somebody caught on their eye something. And it was a video of an Ethiopian boy, a soldier wearing a yarmulke, riding his bike, and he wanted to go through somewhere, and two Israeli cops pummeled him, beat him up. And this video went viral, and because of this video, there was a lot of protesting. So the question is, was this video the source of the anger, or was it actually something deeper, something that goes deeper than the color of skin? So what enraged all of a sudden these Ethiopian Jews to protest the way they did?
He's
Ethiopian.
What?
They're Ethiopian. No, they came from Ethiopia. That's
Ethiopian,
not a shame. They were born in Israel, so they're Israelis. So basically, there's an old Shiloh, and when I say old, it's a couple thousand years old. But before I get into the Shiloh, I want to first acquaint the Chashuva Olam over here with the background that began the Shiloh. So there was a man, his name was Eldad HaAdani. And Eldad HaAdani his name is really the number one name when it comes to understanding what the tradition of these Ethiopians are. There are a lot of different traditions, but the strongest, most established tradition was from Eldad HaAdani. Eldad HaAdani was a mechaber of Sfarim, and he lived in the 9th century, and he was a very big traveler. And one of the Sfarim that he wrote that obviously got around due to his traveling was what in one of the Sfarim he writes that Yesh Lanu Kabbalah Ish Mipi Ish Anachnu Mishevetan. And so he continues, and then what happened? What happened was that originally we lived in Eretz Yisrael during the first
Ethiopian?
What?
He was Ethiopian.
He's a big traveler, and his Eldad HaAdani, he claims that he's from Dan, like the rest of his people, and as his name indicates, HaAdani. And he got around, and he says in one of his farm, he explains that they originated in Eretz Yisrael, and during the first Beis HaMikdash, Rabban Ben Avot took over, and he was a big machti as a rabbim, and he opposed the king of Rehoboam. He opposed the entire malchus, and Eretz Yisrael split. There was the top 10 top tribes, and then on the bottom you had Yehuda and Binyamin. So Yerubim ben Avot couldn't really compete with Yerushalayim. So besides making his Avodah Zarah everywhere, he also made his own Beis HaMikdash. And Dan couldn't handle this. Shevet Dan said, "We want out." So what happened was, they left Eretz Yisrael, and this is all Eldad HaAdani writing. They left Eretz Yisrael, and they went to Mitzrayim. But in Mitzrayim, they're not allowed to settle. There's an issur to settle in Eretz Yisrael, in Mitzrayim. So they went through Mitzrayim, and they landed in none other than Ethiopia. And he describes that that the people saw over there, they saw an Eretz Shemena, they saw Kramim Pardesim, and they lived happily ever after. So that's the story that Eldad HaDani describes. Dan separated from the rest of the Shvatim. They went to Ethiopia, Cush, and this is what Eldad HaDani writes. The question is, could we trust Eldad HaDani? So there was a man named the Tzemach Kain, and he lived in the 9th century, and he says unequivocally, yes, we can trust him. He was a reliable person, and we could believe him. Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam says that Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam actually quotes Eldad HaDani, but the Ibn Ezra writes in Shmais, Zerushin, he writes, no, we can't trust him. And he writes that there are different Sfarim out there, and you can't just believe something that's written in Lashon HaKadosh. Like, these Hebrew books that are written, they look all nice, but it doesn't mean you could believe everything you see. And he writes, he gives an example, he says the Sefer Zerubbabel, and he says, and also the Sfarim of Eldad HaDani. You could find it in the Mikrais Gedolos in Shmais. Rabbeinu Avadya ben Mibar Tanura writes, and he traveled from Italy to Eretz Yisrael. When he was writing letters back, I didn't see this letter myself. I heard Rabbi Friend quote Rabbeinu Avadya Mibar Tanura. I confirmed a lot of what I've seen and what I've heard, but I didn't confirm this. I wouldn't know how to. But in a letter that he writes back to the Jews in Italy, so he writes that Anira Isi Shnayim Mehamim Mitzrayim, and he says that they were black, a little bit black, not as black as the people of Cush, but I don't know if they are Karayim or not, because their minhagim seem to indicate they are like Karayim. They don't cook on Shabbos, and they do things that resemble people who are the people of, like the people of Karayim, the Karaites. So therefore, we have over here kind of like a balance. We have the Tzemach Kain, we have Rabbeinu Avraham ben the Rambam, and we have the Ibn Ezra saying no, Bar Tanura saying yes. But then there's the Ritvaz. The Ritvaz is really the big source to a lot of what can be written on Ethiopians. And he writes, he's from the 16th century in the 1500s. He's actually contemporaries with Beis Yosef, born and was Nifter within a few years. And he writes that, again, he was a Rav in Mitzrayim, and he wrote a Shalos HaTshuva Sefer with thousands of different tshuvas, and he also wrote a Purush on the Rama. So the Ritvaz has two different Shilas discussed in his Tshuva Sefer, and he kind of, his Shita kind of changes course from one to the next. So I'm going to bring down both of the different tshuvas. I'm going to discuss them, and then we're going to go to the more haintik paiskim. So Ritvaz says that there was a case like this: a woman was captured with two children, and they were brought to Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim was a hustling and bustling market for slaves, and lo and behold, a Jewish man, Reuven, bought the woman and her two sons. So Reuven asks this lady, what is your nature? Who are you? Where are you from? What's your story? So she says that she had a husband, and there was a massacre where they lived in Ethiopia, and her husband, she believes, was killed. And she is Jewish. So this is what the lady relays over to her master, Reuven. So over the course of time, those this man Reuven had relations with this lady, and a son was born. So the question was posed to the Radvaz that is this child a mamzer? Because we don't know for sure if the husband that she claims was killed was indeed killed. So maybe this child is a mamzer. So, very good. So the Radvaz right away starts discussing how to be mitar the children. You saw that you saw them as slaves, whatever. There's a way to perhaps be mitar them. So he gets into that. But the assumption that Rabbi Pravalsky caught onto was that they're Jewish in the first place. Why are you discussing their mamzerus? First discuss if they're Jewish, and then you won't even have to discuss if they're a mamzer or not. If the boy is a mamzer or not. So that's one tshuva. And there's another shaila posed to the Radvaz. The shaila is like this: a Jewish person, similar, was captured and he was sold in Mitzrayim. And the master asks him, what's your nature? And the person says, I am a Jewish person from Ethiopia, and my family was destroyed, and here I am. So the shaila was that does he go free after Shesh Shanim? So imagine you're sitting in your living room and you're asking what's your story, and the guy says, this is I'm Jewish. All of a sudden, mishpatim is going through your head, and you have all these and you're thinking of the different kedushin, Bava Kami. You're going with your mind is racing. What's going? I have right here in my living room. I have an Eved Ivri. So the Radvaz says, actually, you thought you bought a slave, but you actually were makayim the mitzvah of pidyon shvuim, and he's free. You didn't buy yourself a slave. You bought yourself a mitzvah, tiskel mitzvah. So this is what the Radvaz says. So then he vacillates. He says, maybe this Jew from Ethiopia was actually one of the Karaim. And with Paskin, by Karaim, the Gemara's Paskins, that Maridin v'loy Milan. We don't have any compassion for people who are Karaim. So this is what is going on in the mind of the Radvaz. And then he comes out that being that they didn't know better, they lived in Ethiopia for thousands of years, or it's actually maybe 1,000 years at that point. So they're nothing less than nothing more than a tinik shenishba. And for a tinik shenishba, we're not gonna stamp them with the stamp of being a karai. So this is what the Radvaz says. And then he ends off that, however, and he just, however, as far as their yichus is concerned, their kashrus, maybe they know how to do kedushin, and maybe not gittin. And if they know how to do kedushin, which is actually a simple procedure, and it happens by mistake so often, that's how simple it is. But gittin, they don't know how to do. So what's going to end up happening is you're going to have a lot of people who are married and never divorced, thinking that they were divorced, and it's brought down in the Eitz Yisrael that their minig was that they would do it in order to separate. They would stand in front of the rabbi and in front of the square, in front of the people, and they would separate like the rest of society did at that point. So maybe they know how to do kedushin, but they don't know how to do gittin, and the result is mamzerim infesting their community. So this was that's the Radvaz. So there are a lot of different paskim that discuss the shaila. Again, the Radvaz was in the 1500s, in the 16th century, and he paskim that they are Jewish, like we saw. And he ends off in one of the shailas that maybe they're mamzerim. In the first shaila, he was discussing how to get rid of their mamzeris. In the second shaila, maybe there are mamzeris without anything new happening. So the first and foremost, she thought that it stood on the Ethiopian side, and supported them as full-fledged Jews without any issues, was Vad Yosef in our time. And really, I don't know if anybody before then either, but certainly in our time, the Vad Yosef supported them 100%. And I want to go. Yeah, that's. You have. I mean, I don't think there are any other people in Ethiopia who the Ravaz is referring to. What? Okay, but I don't know if anybody's claiming to be Jewish there. In fact, we'll see. We'll see that. We'll see. So the basic.
No, I'm just thinking there's more than one group of 60 people.
A lot of people are claiming we're the real Jews. We're the real Jews.
A lot of people from that part of the world.
You're a racist. I think they look the same.
So the Avad Yosef starts off his tshuva. I want to go through parts of his tshuva, and that discusses how all the different dilemmas that he faced and how he went and fought off each and every one of them, and why his shita was so controversial, and how I'm not going to come out with anything, no pretensions to any psak, just to, again, like I said in the beginning, just to acquaint this Chashava Olam with background. So the Avad Yosef starts off like this. He says that you have these Ethiopians that are Habayim Me'eretz Kush, and quoting the Ritvaz, Habayim Me'eretz Kush, Hey Meshevet Don Beli Safik, since they didn't have any rabbanim, so they had the Torah's Moshe, as it's referred to in a lot of Pesukim, that they had just the Chumash. So they were tafsul lahem pashtei ksuvim, aval im hayu melamdim naisam. They wouldn't have opposed anything that you would have taught them. So they can't be placed in that category as tzedakim. The Lachen says the Ritvaz quoted in the Avad Yosef. Lachen dinam ketinik shenishba ben ha'akam u'mitzvah liftaisom u'lachiyosom. Ad kan tuch dvar, says the Avad Yosef. It's a mitzvah to be paid to them. That's probably the end of that second shiloh, that you have to be paid to them. So good job, you Mr. Reuben, you're paid to this slave. That, and the reason why he's not a slave is because he never stole anything, and Beza never sold him. What makes him a slave? He was captured. So you are paid to shvuim. So mazel tov. So that's the Ritvaz. So the Avad Yosef continues and he says that Marikash, who is a Talmud of the Ritvaz, paskin like the Ritvaz, and the Marikash wrote a Pirush on Yeridea, and he also wrote his own Tshuva Sefer, the Ali Yaakov. So these two people held that these Ethiopian Jews were 100% valid Jews. So he brings a few riyas, and then he says, "Ata reisal adash Yehudim ha'falashim dinam ki Yisrael l'chol dabar." And then he ends up in tzrichim tefila likanis bekal Hashem, which was the shita of a lot, meaning a lot of different pesukim said that you would have to do tefillah at least. Tefillah l'chumra, do geiris l'chumra. He says, v'einam tzrichem tefillah li'kanis b'kal Hashem. So now he's going to bring up the problems. V'ein lanu lachosh klal l'shamanis arvu bahem gayim shegadai l'chazaka. So you're going to say, oh, what do you mean? They're surrounded by gayim. That you know, Jews were never liked by other people. So either they were captured as slaves, or maybe they intermarried. So how do you know that these Jews are the same Jewish people? Maybe they over the course of time became 50% Jewish or less. So says the Avad Yosef that shegadol chazaka. chazaka is so powerful that we don't have to have that as a legitimate concern. And then he says, he brings another support for this. He brings the Gaina Chassid HaRasha, Rabbi Rafal Meir Panizal, sounds Sephardi. And he says that we're gonna go like the Radvaz and the Marikash. And he says these fiery words, "Mi yavay achre shnei amalachim ha'adirim ha'ela, lahar shemetz psol achre ha'yehudim ha'ela, v'la yarei l'nafshay miliyos nichve be'gachalosam, shukal divrayim k'gachle ish." So this is how this is how Rabbeinu Rafal, the Rashal, goes like as well. And Avad Yosef ends this point that this is how the Beis Din HaTzedek Yerushalayim Bereishis HaGoyin Rabbi Yosef Nissim Barloi paskins, which means that the Beis Din at that time also came out like this, probably due to Avad Yosef's influence. But this is how he came. This is how they came out as well. So then he brings his opposition. There's a man named Rabbeinu Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, and he was the chief rabbi in Yerushalayim at that time. And he says, of the whole Eretz Yisrael at that time, and he says that they had chaykrim, who were, I guess, investigators who worked for the Medina, and he said that they were. That they had investigators go around and find out that these Falashim were actually Bnei Gaza, Lo Yehudi Shiniskaru Ipam. Ve'em Kain Harei Bar Shalai Niskaru Amenas Lishmer Se Yehudi Shalanu Apia Tarei Shabal Peh Ela Yehudi Shabadu Maliban Vedinam Kimish Niskaru Amenas Lishmer Kol Tarei Chutz Meduke Echa Medivrei Seifrim She'em Mikablam Naisai. So Rabbeinu Herzog, the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, Paskin, that we had investigators go out. They did their diligent research, and they found that these people has no shaykhs to people from the Jewish. They had no shaykhs to Jews. So they were Bnei Gaza. I don't know who that is. Maybe some tribe, and. And even if at some point in their lives, as an entire community, converted, but they didn't convert, Amenas to accept the entire Torah upon themselves, because they didn't have the whole Torah available to them. So what are they? They are nothing but people who went through a conversion process and failed. This is how he comes out. So Avad Yosef retorts that.
Were there, and they were this group they were dealing with comes from the...
I don't know. He may dismiss that he may go with Ibn Ezra.
Maybe that
right now they're claiming to be Jewish. So that's all we know. And their history. This is what our chaykrim are telling us, that there are no shaykhs. And even if they're Jewish now, but they weren't mekabel the entire Torah. So therefore,
why is it different than any guy who didn't know a certain mitzvah at the time of his gerus? They didn't know. The group that they were exposed to only knew about these.
Is that a good gerus?
They have no interest.
If someone's a guy and they go to, and all they know is Reformed Judaism, and they go to convert, and this is all they know, so that's a good gerus.
So the that this is what happened 5 years.
They did their research, and this is how they came out.
I heard a study that
DNA study
of the, and they said they have zero DNA in common with Jews, the rest of us.
It's funny, I heard. It's funny, I heard Mamish the opposite yesterday. Someone came over to me and said they have unbelievable.
DNA.
What?
The book of Abraham
seed.
They did DNA studies of Jews all over the world.
It seems like a lot.
Zero DNA in common with the rest
of us. There's a lot of agendas out there. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so yeah, it could be they researched the wrong group. I don't know. So Avad Yosef says, "Umi nitcha mifnei mi." Who's word are you gonna take? Gonna take these chaykrim's words, or are you gonna take the Radvaz and the Marikash and others? So he throws that out right away, and he says that that even though Lamaisa, I mean, this was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, so he had his word held ground. So he came out that do atavis dambris and tevila, but marti miyos toivat tikra ra. Go ahead, do it. It can't hurt. But he points out that Lamaisa ulam ladina loykin anochi amadi v'daiti sheish lismech ala peskim hana. Then he brings the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer says, he brings down the Ridvaz, and the Tzitz Eliezer says also that we should be mefakfik under Yadusam. Why? Because he was soimich his words on the Ridvaz as well. Because the Ridvaz writes that there was a lot of there was three nationalities in that one country. There was the Christians, there was these Jewish people, and Yishmaelim. And uvachol yaim shayvim elu me'elim. So right away the Tzitz Eliezer says, oh, if we know this reisa is going on, that each one is capturing from each other, so we don't know anything. We don't know what's going on anymore, and they're not Jews. Finished. So the Avad Yosef responds that Lamaisa Ridvaz didn't hint in any way that because of that they shouldn't be allowed to become Bekal Hashem, and they shouldn't need, and he didn't hint that they should ever need Ger Lachomer as the Tzitz Eliezer wants, and he says that all he was saying, all the Ridvaz was saying with this capturing business, sounds like you're in camp, each one's capturing from the other, that's what was going on. So he says all that was going on was that there was a big market for slavery, and everybody was making money. It was a win-win for everybody. So he says that's all that was going on. You don't have to assume that then there was intermarriage, and then there was the Ethiopian Jewish community dissolved. You have no reason to assume that. Then he brings. So then they're there. So one second, then they're there. Okay, so the other.
If the Jewish, if the people of the tribe, they have the Muslim women, the Christian women.
You have to be Christian.
If they take the Christian women back to their tribe as wives, then they're going to have a bunch of.
So then he says, well, maybe things changed, like because of this action of Shvuyim going on, maybe things changed. So he said, you can't change their entire religion and say that they're not Jewish anymore because of that reality. Because Lamaisa, you're gonna change their Jewishness. Lamaisa, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to be Ma'ar. You can't make a rumor and change someone's kashrus level because of a rumor. And a rumor, unless you have two. And he says, who do you have? Which two do you have more than the two that I already said? So again, he stands ground. So then he goes weiter. He speaks out some of their minhagim. He says that, and you have to understand that they also did keep things separate. They didn't mingle together. He said one of the minhagim was that anytime they would want to do business with one another, so the Jewish people were, again, these Ethiopians were very superior in their business. And they were intelligent, and so people wanted to do business with them. So they would say, you want to do business with me, I'm not going to shake your hand. Go to the mikvah first. I'm not going into your house unless you do this or whatever. They made these rules that perforce made them separate from anybody else.
They made the guy go
into the mikvah.
The whole Jewish community had
Well, you could use an ocean.
It's debatable.
right, at this point.
What does that do for them?
I don't know if it did anything, but it kept them separate. It kept them separate. We have an assumption already. Yeah. Oh. Okay. I have to go weiter. So then he brings that. There are other minhagim. There's somebody. His name is Sharon Shalom, a Jewish guy who's in Ethiopia, and one of those very educated guys. And he wants to write a Shulchan Aruch for Ethiopians because they had so many mitzvahs that they did that were similar and some that were so way off. That he wanted to kind of reconcile the minhagim and whatever was way off to dismiss and whatever nice minhagim they had to keep. And so one of the things he writes is that they had Yom Kippur also. But if Shabbos had fallen on Yom Kippur, they wouldn't fast completely on Yom Kippur because it's Shabbos. You're going to be Mechal Shabbos. Yeah, you can't fast. You can't fast on Yom Kippur if it's Shabbos also. So they would eat minimally, but now he wants to institute that at least a child should drink. They should make kiddush, and a child should drink it. And they have.
You still do this?
Which part of this?
You still eat in Yom Kippur?
No. No, I'm saying.
But he wants the kids studying in Yom Kippur.
They want. I don't know. I'm not getting.
He made kiddush.
Kiddush hayayim, and he had the kid drink it. That's what. So they had all their minhagim that when the woman was in Nida, they would say arois. They would have to go to a different place or a different tent or it wasn't. So this was another minhag that they found, and they had these minhagim. You have to remember they had these minhagim for thousands of years. This is not. It wasn't something that they just concocted. And right when we bumped into them, they punked had these minhagim and very strange, similar minhagim to. They were around in Eretz Yisrael during the Bayis Rishon, and they left. And they kept on to whatever they could hold on to. And Torah Shabbat Peh they didn't have, so it wasn't even written yet. No, now they want to institute that. They ate in the past. They ate a little bit, and now they want to institute. At least they should do this.
They kept Torah Shabbat Peh.
They had Torah Shabbat Peh. There were banans, there were no derabanans. That's it. Zero derabanans. So he ends off that anybody who wants to apostle these people, you have to be Yarl and Avshay because these are Jewish people. And what? The Avad Yosef. He brings down Ramosha. Ramosha, he says that Ramosha paskined that they're Suffolk Jews. I'm not sure. It sounds like maybe in Chelek Tess also, but in other areas he paskined that they're Suffolk Jews, and there is no issue of mamzers. And he says because that perhaps the Radvaz didn't know clearly the mitzvahs of these people. So Avad Yosef says, I don't understand. Lamaisa, there is a Gemara in Chulin, and the Gemara in Chulin says that there was an Amara that ate from without taking off truma, and it doesn't pass for. It seemed like he ate without taking off truma, and it doesn't pass for somebody to take off truma from another place or nice and inna besides that, and eat from this part. So they made that place, which was a question if it was Eretz Yisrael. They made that place Chutz La'aretz because of this person who ate truma, ate without taking off truma. So how could you question or advise who says unequivocally these are Jews? He did his research. He says they're Jews. You're gonna say maybe he didn't know. A Gadol says something. This is how it is. And nothing, unless you know for sure things changed. But if you don't know, then you can't take away their.
But Yoti, in during the 80s, there was an issue. think the tissue surface before, they call them balasha, the emigrant. Did that get resolved, or did it just go into the...
We're going to discuss it. We're going to hopefully get to there. The Operation Moses. Hopefully we'll get there. Okay, so that's how it comes out. And then he says that there is no issue of Mamzeris. I'm just going to try to speed through this. That there is no issue of Mamzeris. Why is there no issue of Mamzeris? So he says because in order for you to have a Mamzer, you need to know that he is a Mamzer. If you have a Suffolk, one Suffolk will say that he's only a Mamzer Midrabana. A Sfeika will remove the entire issue of Mamzeris. And if we don't know for sure that the person is a Mamzer, you don't even need a... For instance, like this, unbelievable idea. You have a Suffolk Mamzer. Yeah? You know that this guy's a Suffolk Mamzer. You could be a Mesader Kedushin for this person to marry somebody else. You don't have to say anything. And the reason is because it's not Pshat Suffolk... The Avnei Nezer explains, it's not Pshat Suffolk Mamzer... Is not a mamzer because we have to be mako or whatever. It's because in order to have mamzerus, you have to have a full yediyah. If you don't have a full yediyah, the person is not a mamzer. So the person doesn't know. A person under the chuppah doesn't know. He doesn't have to. And we see a lot of concepts like this by Arla and Chutz La'aretz. The Gemara says that.
Who has to know that he's mamzer?
Even mamzer vaday. Even a mamzer vaday. If you only one person knows, you could vite or says the Avnei Nezer be mikash them under to get married. Why? Because again, in order for mamzeres to be chal, it's a huge chiddush. But this is what he says. In order for Mamzeris to be chal, he has to be a full-fledged Mamzer. If you don't have a Yediyah, then there is no Mamzeris. Two Edim is a different story. If you have two Edim over here, says the Vad Yosef, if you have two Edim that go connected the Ridvaz and Marikash, then we're going to have to go a few minutes over time. Sorry. If you have two Edim, it will say that I know for sure that these people are mamzerim. Then the game is over. You have mamzerim, and I don't know. We'll send them back or whatever.
You must have many people up there who know that they're the children of their mother's second or third marriage.
You don't know.
Okay. Oh, 1 second. Very good. Very good. Says about yourself. Even if you're gonna take that route, maybe the kedushin wasn't either a good kedushin. Why? Because who said they had good Edom? Who are their Edom? The guy who ate in Yom Kippur? Which aid do you have to tell me that there was a good Kedushin? So the Kedushin is also out of here. So in every possible way, he says maybe there was Savlinus, Lashem Kedushin. He says the minhag was that the parents said the parents of the boy sent the savlinus, the frying pan or whatever spices. That would be the savlinus. There was no savlinus. That there was nothing doing. They're 100% Jewish. There's no mamzerus, and everything is fine with these people. So back to that mamzerus. There are other things like this also. It's not like a new concept just by Mamzeris. By Arla, Suffolk Arla, the Gemara says that the Amir would feed his Chaverim Arla, and they wouldn't know, and he would feed it to them. Because it's Gebaitan Yediyah, the Isser is Gebaitan Yediyah. And also by Avelos, you have to have, in order, let's say a person is an Aval, right at the Chasen becomes an Aval. And you know. Do you have to go tell him? You don't have to tell him. Let him finish the dancing, and then you'll tell him afterwards. Because there's no avilus, there's no din avilus unless there's a yediyah. So don't tell him. Now, the Rabbi Chanan says that Rabbi Chanan takes us a step further, that maybe you should even need two edim to make avilus ever chal. because you need two Edom to make a Yediya, and without these two Edom, so maybe Avilus is never Chal. So he says that being that it's Igloy Milsa, even one person could tell him, and it's enough, because the person will find out anyways. There are others who hustle up these Ethiopians. The Rosh Kol showed me from Ramesh Sternbach that he says they're Safik Yehudim, but they're Mamzerim. The Stipler gives us Haskama. He doesn't speak as specifically about Ethiopians, but he says about Haidu, but the Indian, there's a similar issue with them. But the Stipler gives his psak on this Ramesh Sternbach. Ramesh says, and I'll just end with this. Ramesh says that he's writing to his son-in-law Mordechai Tendler, and he says that, like the Avad Yosef said, that it's kosher to be simach on the Ritvaz, because maybe he didn't know what was going on. Avladino inam be'eser mamzeros. Even the Radvaz paskin that they weren't Mamzerim. So then he says, oh, so what about their Jewishness? Somebody asked, what about their Yados? So Vyesh Latzrichim Geras Amiti Kaidem Shanitiram Love Bekal. Avagam Kaidem Gerusam Yesh Mitzvah Latzilam Ishmar Mesakana Kedin Kal Yisrael. You have to go save them. Shusafik Nefashis Lahaka. Gam Shukan Hasafik Havi Be'etzam Yechusam Ki Yehudim. The Gemara in Ksuva says that even you're even Mechoyev Osaman Adam Re'acha by a Safik Yid. So then he says a massive Chiddush. He says that Vegam Yesh Ladas. I have to read it inside, otherwise you're gonna want to see it yourself. You're not gonna believe me. Vegam Yesh Ladas. Shafilu im Ladina Einam Yehudim. Let's say Eliyahu HaNavi will come right now and say, all those guys that claim to be from Ethiopia, then they're in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say he would say that they are not Jewish people. Mikal Malkan Mi'achas Shechashim Shehem Yehudim U'Maisrim Nafsham Ayudasam. You have to go save them because they considered themselves to be Jews. They were Meiser Nefesh in the face of annihilation. That's the Operation Moses was to airlift them out of there because there was a threat. They were going to be wiped out. And for millennia, they were faced with it. No one liked these Jews. And in fact, I saw that the Goyim hated them, but they didn't want them to go because they felt all the bracha they were ever getting was because their Messiah was because of these Jewish people there. So they were hated and they were killed. But because, says Ramesh, because they held themselves to be Jews, you have to save them. I don't know what that means, be mechal Shabbos, or that means you have to spend money, like Saman Adam Reacha, you have to spend money out of your pocket.
How come more white than they're black?
Oh, so what about black? I thought you would ask that question. So what about their color? So there's a Gemara in Bechiris that says that if you have a Kayan who is black, they're a pasul. And lists different colors, red also not good, different, all the psulim, psuadaka, this, that, eyebrows, but if they're black, they're also pasul. Say better, they're not Jews. So then Ramesh ends off.
If his father was black, he could be black and a Jew. I mean, his mother.
He wouldn't be a Kain.
Why not? Oh, he can't be a Kain?
They're from Shevet Dan.
Why can't he be a Kain?
One second. I'm gonna end off with Ramesh.
So Dan was black.
We'll talk afterwards. Says Ramesh, I'm pained that there are people, these people are not being accepted in Minyani Ruchnias. It's going to cause their Ruchnias to be destroyed. He says because their color is different, that's why they are being discriminated against. The pashas sheish lekarbam loy rak mitzad sheinam gruim mishar yehudim. There's no nafgamina because of their color. Eyes, what, except for, says Ramosha, Ella Gamitach Yishbahem Tainashu Ulahim Gerim. And what's the nafgamina? The nafgamina is b'mitzvahs v'ahavtem as a ger. V'asayim b'tikba sh'yishupar ha-matzav v'v'schus sh'miris kol ha-mitzvahs v'nizke kulanu b'karav l'kibbutz guliyos ayedei Mashiach tzikeinu. I'll end with that. Thank you.